Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and thanks again to the people who filled in the last 2 weeks while I was away on vacation. Era Lewis, David Cruz, Beth Fertig, Amy Eddings, Marty Goldenson. And watching the news from afar in the Adirondacks, it was a strange 2 weeks that seemed all about people's demise in one way or another. It started with Karl Rove's resignation, then the deaths of Phil Rizzuto and Brooke Astor and Max Roach and Leona Helmsley, and the awful deaths of the Deutsche Bank firefighters and the Utah mine rescue and recovery workers. And then there was also the demise of Debbie Almontaser, which we just talked about, also came while I was away. But toward the end of the 2 weeks, there were some lighter moments. And one of them was also about somebody's demise in the political world. I loved especially the latest twist in the Spitzer-Bruno scandal. Did you catch this one? Maybe you did hear that former Nixon operative Roger Stone, who was working for Bruno, was forced to resign over an alleged new dirty trick, leaving an obscene and threatening voicemail message for Elliot Spitzer's father, who's in his 80s. Maybe you heard that. But maybe you didn't hear this part that I read in the Albany Times-Union upstate. Stone claimed not to be home when that phone call was made from his home phone. Where was he? Of all things, out seeing the play Frost Nixon about his lovely former boss. Except for one little detail, on the night in question, Frost Nixon wasn't playing. So you gotta love it, right? The ghost of Richard Nixon returns in the Spitzer-Bruno scandal. And there was this from the journal Science late last week. Researchers in the UK and in Sweden, I think, figured out a way to induce out-of-body experiences. One way was by using special goggles attached to cameras that make you feel like you are viewing yourself from behind yourself. And the question that they raised, where is the real self located? Is it in your actual body that you're watching, or in your field of vision as you are watching your body from outside? Personally, I think it's a silly question. Mostly, we can't figure out how to feed and clothe and house billions of people. We can't figure out what kinds of schools are legitimate, but science is working on the question of where the self is located when you wear goggles attached to cameras, okay? But there have been many real moments that people have had of out-of-body experiences, and this is what inspired the studies in the first place. And the meaning that people attach to these out-of-body experiences that they've had. So we thought we would open the phones just for a few minutes here for any of you who have ever had a real-life out-of-body experience. They say these come in near-death experiences, in peak moments of meditation or yoga, extreme exertion in sports, things like that. And some people do attach great spiritual significance to these experiences in their lives, not just being located outside the body, but it coming with some kind of epiphany about yourself or the nature of life. So we will ask you, in all seriousness, have you ever had an out-of-body experience? And if so, what did it mean? Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. This is not the Art Bell Show, for those of you who know what that is, that overnight paranormal show. This is a serious question. Do you have in your past an out-of-body experience? And if so, what did it mean? Scientists are obviously spending money to try to recreate these things because they think that there's going to be some value for humanity in it. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, I will say that I did once have one myself, and it was at the oddest moment. I was breaking up with a girlfriend and crying. We were in the actual breakup conversation, and suddenly, there I was on the ceiling watching the whole thing. It was very weird, nothing I ever would have anticipated or predicted or believed if I hadn't experienced it, but it was short, and it didn't seem to mean much in the long run, but it was just something that I was aware of, that my consciousness was in two places at once. I was breaking up with my girlfriend, crying, and at the same time, I was on the ceiling watching the whole thing happen. So who knows? But have you ever had an out-of-body experience? And if so, what did it mean? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi there, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a meditation teacher, and so I had a couple insights that I wanted to offer about this. I mean, I myself have had numerous what you could call out-of-body experiences.
Is it something that you cultivate? Is it something that you strive for as a meditation teacher?
No. I mean, this is what I was going to say. It's that a lot of times students will want to know how they can astral project or have an out-of-body experience. Sometimes it happens, but really it's more about having an in-the-body experience, which is much more supernatural for a lot of people. But what a lot of people are experiencing is that they're out of their physical body, but their awareness has just gone into, in yoga, what we identify as one of these other sort of energy or psychic bodies that we have inside of our physical body. It's actually a lot more common than you'd think.
And so do you think that it has a meaning? Does it have a spiritual value or a lesson to be learned from it?
Well, for a lot of people, the main thing that they become aware of is just that maybe they are something that is beyond just their physical being. You know, maybe even though something happens in their life or something happens in their body, who they are or what they are is beyond that. Is not necessarily affected. It doesn't die when the body dies, and so on.
David, thank you very much. Ethel on Roosevelt Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ethel.
Oh, hi. Yes, we were coming up a hill, 25 miles an hour. At the top of the hill, we meet a woman. Later on, she turned out to be drunk, hit her head on. She died on the spot.
Oh, my.
No, I don't know that yet. I'm in a half safety belt, and I hit my head. And go up in the air and look down at my husband. That's the experience is very real. You absolutely feel you've lost that you have risen out of your body. That's not, of course, what's happened. The circuits in your mind have given you that kind of a picture, and they've tried proving that you don't ever leave your body. And one group of scientists, they took a high bookshelf. And put some objects on it, and somebody who said they did this all the time, they always could float up to the ceiling, they simply said, well, what's up there? And, of course, he couldn't tell them. And
Ethel.
Every time they've tried to prove that. But the experience itself is very authentic. You know that you are up there.
Ethel, I'm going to leave it there.
Is, were you up there?
Yes. Grounded in Science is Ethel in Roosevelt Island. And Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What happened to you?
I'm a clinical social worker specializing in anxiety disorders.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole other side to the out-of-body experience. You know, of course, when people are seeking an out-of-body experience through experimentation with drugs or through meditation or what have you, you know, they desire it, and sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes it's not. However, people who are predisposed to anxiety or have anxiety attacks, panic attacks, or people who are victims of attacks, crimes, rape victims, you know, will report that they have depersonalization and derealization.
Which represents what?
Which represents a similar experience times fear. You know, a hideous experience in which people feel disoriented and they feel that they are going crazy when they really are not.
Can you use it clinically to detach people from their fear or anxiety and, you know, help them center themselves in a more healthy way?
Well, what we do actually in the treatment of most of the anxiety disorders is we do what's called exposure therapy or in vivo therapy. And we expose them to the kinds of anxiety that they experience, which can include depersonalization and derealization. And these modern cognitive behavioral therapies help them to come back into reality, help them to be reoriented, help them to break into this synergy of physiological sensations and thinking, and eventually to habituate, to get used to it, and then it goes away. We have other psychiatric phenomenon, like something called isolated sleep paralysis, in which people either are going to sleep or waking up, and they feel paralyzed. There's another interesting phenomenon, and in England there were several studies that showed that people who feel they've had experiences with visitors from other planets and have been taken onto spaceships and things like that really suffer from isolated sleep paralysis.
Bob, thank you very much. Drew in Plainview, you're on WNYC. Hi, Drew.
Well, I definitely was in the middle of some anxiety. The first time I had an out-of-body experience, I was about 12 years old. I was riding my bicycle home. Very hot day, very steep hill, and lost control of my bicycle and was hit by a car. Lucky for me, I bounced off the windshield and landed
it wasn't
on the
Ethel
side of the road.
It wasn't Ethel in Roosevelt Island who struck you, was it?
No.
Okay, it's a good thing.
And I sincerely recall being above the whole thing while the driver of the car mm-hmm. and another guy, I can see a guy in a pickup truck run across the street to see if I was okay. And one of them touched me, and I jumped up and literally started dancing around saying, I'm alive, and danced right back into traffic.
Wow.
Almost got hit a second time.
And you say there was a second time, an out-of-body experience for you?
And the second time I was rock climbing, and I had a fall, and I had an anchor zip out, and I thought I was going all the way down, and it seemed to me like I was about 10 yards off the face of the rock watching myself do this.
So both times in horrible accidents when you could have died.
Both times in not horrible accidents, but in situations where I very much could have died.
All right. Thank you very much. Felina in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Actually, the first time was was definitely anxiety producing. I had polio when I was an infant, and over the course of the years, I've been to a lot of doctors and went to the University of Chicago teaching hospitals, and so it was not uncommon to have a whole group of doctors look at you. And I was being examined by my doctor, and a whole group of interns and whatnot came in to start watching me. And it was so embarrassing. I was so ashamed. I basically went up to the ceiling and kind of like looked at the whole thing down. I really separated myself from all that was going on around me.
So you felt that it was almost like a cycle, and we're almost out of time, but like a psychological adaptation mechanism for you.
Right, the first time. But the second time was a religious experience, and totally different and totally beautiful. And I was at an Eastern Orthodox service of light. And between the icons, the incense, the words, it was just all so beautiful. At some point during the service, I experienced myself above myself in the pew.
And Felina, that has to be the last word. Thank you for that set of experiences, and thank you all for calling in with your out-of-body experiences in real life and what they have meant to you. Obviously, that last one meant a lot to Felina. Well, having a very much in-body experience this morning is President Bush, who has had to accept the resignation, if you haven't heard yet, of his longtime friend and U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and reaction has been coming in. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is a big critic of Alberto Gonzalez, of course, and here's what he had to say earlier.
As long as they put the rule of law first, we can find common ground on a nominee. The Justice Department is too important to be trifled with.
All right. As chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Schumer will have a lot to say about the next Attorney General nominee, Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Secretary being prominently mentioned right now as of this morning, among a few others. And here's a little bit of the statement that President Bush gave just about 5 minutes ago as he thanked Alberto Gonzalez for his service.
Judge Gonzalez decided to resign his position, and I accept his decision. It's sad that we live in a time when a talented and honorable person like Alberto Gonzalez is impeding from doing important work because his good name was dragged through the mud for political reasons.
President Bush just 5 minutes ago announcing, too, that he's appointing the U.S. Solicitor General Paul Clement as the acting Attorney General of the United States. And that's it for today's show. The executive producer of The Brian Lehrer Show is Nuala McGovern. Our producers, Jim Colgan, Priya George, Lisa Allison, as far as they look across the glass, all very much within their bodies. Our hardworking intern, Tomek Gross. That's Jason Cowett at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer. Great to be back. Talk to you tomorrow on WNYC.